Have you ever wanted to change? Ever wanted to change something about yourself? Well, of course you have. I think it's one of the defining things about human beings that they always want to change. Never really thinking to themselves, no, I want to stay exactly the same way as I am. But of course, if you're anyway like me, you'll have had lots of times when you've thought, I'd like to change, but not actually changed, not actually done anything about it. And you might even have built up a whole load of memories of failed intentions. This is why I'm making this audio. I want to tell you about something that happened to me recently that's given me a bit of hope. In relation to changing myself. I suppose the backstory begins with one day I was going through my Twitter feed, and I have a list of people I call pet tweeters. These are people whose tweets if I possibly can, I'd like to see everything that they tweet. And one of them is a guy called Chris Brogan. And Chris has got a blog where he very recently started to write some very powerful pieces about himself, and I was very struck, stopped in my tracks, if you like, by one of his blog posts in which he mentioned his new girlfriend. He came out and said he had a new girlfriend, that her name was Jacqueline Carley, and that he was starting a new phase in his life in which he was going to be closer and closer to his kids and, you know, spending more time with them is the impression I got, and that was one of his big plans for this year. But he was open. He was open about the fact that his marriage had ended and he was starting a new relationship. And my heart went out to him, really, because, you know, like many people listening to this audio now, we've been there. He's one of us. However successful somebody is, however much you might be looking up to them, and even trying to follow their example in some ways, at the bottom line, the bottom humanity is that they may be having a real struggle to make the best of their life, no matter how successful they look to others. So here was I looking at Chris saying, God, this guy is terribly successful. By the way, I've never met Chris in my life. I've had only contacts with him via social media. But I was thinking, this is a guy I admire immensely. And he's revealing something, you know, interesting. And more than that, he's revealing something which enables me to empathize with him. So I thought, who is this Jacqueline Carley? Who is this person called called Fitarella on Fitarella on Twitter? And I read on a little bit more, and I see that Chris is starting to do an activity called 12 in 12. And essentially it is that you take on a new habit, a different habit, every month for the year of 2012, and you carry it out, this new habit, every single day, and you can give it up at the end of the month if you like, but you go on to a new habit at the start of the next month. And I found out by hardly any digging at all that Fitarella, Jacqueline Carley, was the kind of leader of this activity, and that she was she was the center of it, in the sense that she was the person who would put up a bit of information about it and who was encouraging people to do it. And I thought, well, what would I do if I joined them and got into this 12 in 12 thing? What would it mean for me? And this was before I'd made a decision I was going to do something. I just decided, well, what would I change about myself if I had one thing that I would do for the next 30 days starting tomorrow. Depending on the time of day, actually, I might have said starting now, this morning. Anyway, look, what I decided was that the habit I'd start with was eating a proper breakfast. The reason I picked eating a proper breakfast was that I wasn't eating a proper breakfast, and that I had always been saying to myself, oh, look, I know I should. They say breakfast like a king. What is it, lunch like a emperor, and evening meal like a pauper, and that's the way to health. And I knew that a good solid start to the day with food would be good for me. It would also give me a bit of time to focus on the fact that this was a real day as opposed to a real run to catch up with myself. A new day was starting, so I took up the habit anyway of eating a breakfast. And I decided, all right, you guys, you've got to me. So I sent back a tweet saying I'm into this, not knowing what the hell I was really getting into, except, well, I did know what I was getting into. I'm wrong. Intuitively, I knew everything. I actually knew that this would involve me in having to... This would involve me in getting help to change. Now, I have to say this didn't take place in a vacuum, because at the same time I've been reading a book called The Flinch by Julian Smith. It's a free book. It's an e-book. You can get it for, in other words, you can get it for nothing from Amazon. But I warn you that it's a book which will be very challenging. Certainly I found it very challenging, because once I started to read The Flinch, I got into a friend of mine who had said that if I could think of a thing about myself that I wanted to change, I would, procrastination about it would not do anymore. I was no longer going to stick with the status quo as a result of excuses or anything else like that. I was going to have to face this thing that Julian Smith calls the flinch and go through it. And by that I mean not bat it away, but actually engage with the flinch and go right through the difficulty. Well, The Flinch is another story, but I just want to say that if you want to read a book which will give you courage to do something really difficult, and I'm talking about difficult things now, not trivial things, it will give you courage to do something really difficult, you would go a long way before you'd find anything better than Julian Smith's The Flinch. But it actually meant that what actually happened was that The Flinch combined with this attractive idea of taking on new habits to say, right, Paul, you're serious about this. So I did it. In other words, every single day in January, from about the 12th of January until today, up to and including today, I have eaten a breakfast without fail. Now, I admit that one or two of the breakfasts have been eaten at lunchtime. In fact, there was one particular day when I literally forgot and I ate the breakfast that I would have eaten after midday. So, you know, I'm a human. And the good thing about that is that I've experienced what it's like to be, you know, have variable ability. Anyway, there we are. And I also took photographs, tweeted them via the Instagram, and share them with people. And here comes my little daughter into the room. Hi, Grace. Oh, she's turned around and gone away. Okay, I'll carry on, and then I'll go and see where she's gone. I think she's going downstairs to watch TV. Anyway, the next thing that I want to say about this is that I've done it. I've achieved a month of change, and I now will see about whether the habit is kept up for the rest of my life or whatever, but I certainly have gained a huge amount of the advantages out of eating a breakfast every day. And now I come to the next stage. What on earth am I going to do next? What am I going to change next about myself? Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to go to bed early. Yep, I'm going to be in bed at 11:30 every night for the next month. And for those of you who go to bed by 11:30 every night, and I've been doing that since, you know, you were kids. You probably think, oh God, what body uses. You know, everybody does that. Well, not everybody does. Some people don't. Some people have difficulties calming down at the end of the day, or they just find life so bloody exciting that they want to keep going and they don't actually go off to bed. And they somehow they neglect the body's enduring need for rest. Or they might even have a sort of omnipotent fantasy that they are special and different and they only need about 3 hours sleep a night. Well, I need certainly a lot more than I had been getting. I do not need 8 hours sleep a night. I accept that. But I certainly also accept that 4 hours sleep a night is unsatisfactory for me. And the fact that Margaret Thatcher managed to govern Britain on the basis of 4 hours a night doesn't prove that I can do it. So basically I'm setting out to go down the road. I have decided not to be totally extreme about it. There's a moment in Julian Smith's book, The Flinch, where there's some reference to cold showers, and I did seriously consider whether I'd go in for a cold shower every day of the month, and I decided, look, hang on a second, Paul, be a little bit, be gentle to yourself. Can you not pick something else and keep the cold shower until later? So I'm keeping the cold shower until later. But of course now, once I've thought that it would be a good discipline for me to have a cold shower every day, there's no way I'm going to be able to dismiss that as I couldn't do that, or that wouldn't be bad for me. So Julian Smith, if you're listening to this, I'm not avoiding the flinch. I'm simply putting this particular one in its place of priorities. Because actually, sleep is more important than a cold shower. It's important for my mental health. Every person I've spoken to about their own mental health who has been on a journey and learnt something has concurred with the view that sleep matters almost more than any other single thing. And it's also a sort of a early warning signal that if you start not getting enough sleep on a regular basis, you may be about to experience, something very, very unpleasant and a crash. So there. Now, what did I do? That led me to one more trail. I'd gone through Chris Brogan. I'd got to Fitterella, who's a wonderful leader, by the way. But then I realized that there are various other people doing the same thing, and one of them. So I went this morning. Just this is why I'm doing this. I went this morning to the Twitter hashtag 12ER, 12R. And there I found a tweet from TYR, TEEWHYARE. And it was actually tweeted from a place called the Body Diaries. I think that's also another Twitter address. And the point about this is that I thought, well, I'll have a look and see what this link is like. And I came across this stupendously powerful blog post. You might not find it great, but I certainly did. And it was all written in the first person you just have to look at it. Look at the Body Diaries and see for yourself. But the point is, I came at the end of it, there was a song by Whitney Houston. And that song also helped get through to me. And this whole thing was, and that led me on to, another blog post, which was all about eating mindfully. And anyway, I'll quickly get to the end of this story, because having read the blog post, Eating Mindfully, I decided, who can I send this to? And I sent it to a woman called Margaret Smith in Cork, who does her, I was going to say her business, but does her life under the Twitter name umnumnum_Cork. That's UM, NUM, NUM. So that's two nums, _Cork. And because she's really big into food, and she even teaches children how to cook, and adults how to cook and everything. So I thought, well, look, I'll send her this thing about eating mindfully. And you just never know what might happen if you send somebody something. So, truthfully, I'm recording this because I don't know what will happen when you listen to it. In fact, I'm not even sure anyone will really listen to this much of it.
And even if they do, even if you do, and now that you have got to this point in the audio, I don't know what you're going to do next with it. And there's no need for me even to encourage you to do anything with it, because, you know, it's the ball's in your court, as it was in mine. That's it, folks. It's instead of writing Fitterella, this is instead of writing a blog post. I did promise that I would write a blog post. Well, this is the blog post. If I write a written blog post at all, it'll be as a short synopsis of this audio blog post. Because so many people love audio. So many people. This can be played while you're in the car. Okay, look. My love to you all. This is Paul O'Mahony, hoping that this made some sense to you. Bye-bye.